Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Root Insurance puts you in control. Root is a new type of car insurance that uses the sensors in your smartphone to look deeper than other insurers. Here's how it works. Download the Root app, hit the road, and we'll take care of the rest. The app measures your driving behavior, like turning and braking, and gives you a custom rate based primarily on your driving. The better you drive, the better your rate, meaning good drivers could save hundreds. Visit joinroot.com today to get started. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with April Pearson.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Welcome, April.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm actually fangirling.
Yes. Stop! You're fangirling
Wait, what?
We're doing the same to you.
I follow both of you and I know a lot about you, I'll be honest.
Yay!
No way!
Yeah. That's you do post a lot of stuff up there. There's like a lot of stuff to know.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff to know. Florence, maybe. I know a lot about your intimate area. In recent days.
Oh yeah. The you know, the smell.
Yeah.
Smells and shaving
and
rashes.
Read your green lederhosen. I mean,
oh, my green leather lederhosen. I'm so chuffed with those. They smell so fucking good.
Wow. So there you go.
We actually met you like how long? It must have been like over a year ago when you were doing your play. Was it?
Yeah.
Your play Threesome, which is rather fitting.
Yes, we absolutely love threesome. Right, it was a really clever format with three people involved. We were, it was really nice to see you in a play and something like a play about that was so open about sex and very honest as well. A lot of people think of threesomes as being this crazy fetish, this fantasy that goes like really well, and it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't always go like that. Like there's a lot of reality that's involved of like awkward positioning and it was an interesting take on the concept.
Thanks. So for everyone that doesn't know, April, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I really struggle with the like I'm an actor thing because like I feel like if I haven't done any acting then am I?
But
I
suppose yes,
yeah. So I suppose everyone will know. Everyone who would know me from a TV show called Skins, which I did when I was 17.
Quite a big TV show. Not.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite big, really. I mean, everyone watched it.
It was pivotal at the time that we were.
Are the definite demographic, let's be honest.
Yeah,
people finding it now. Like, there are young girls coming to me, and part of the reason why I really wanted to be part of this show and come on here is because people are still finding the show and having formative experiences at, like, a young age because of Skins. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Skins was basically, you guys were our age, we were all the same age, and you were going through the same things, and it was something to, like, look up to, and we were going through that sexual stage in our life where it was about sex and drugs and intimacy and school and drama, and so I just remember, like, running home from school to watch it and being like, oh my God, this is so cool.
It was so cool. I mean, if you look back on it now, you're like, ooh, not as cool as I remember. But
yes, yeah, the age of time.
Yeah.
It was definitely a pivotal moment in, I think, many of our sex lives.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, it's actually on Netflix now as well, which is probably why people are discovering it now.
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. It's
so
worth a watch.
If you have not watched Skins, you have to, and watch it from the beginning. Because the first two series are the best. The original, the OG. But you've also been doing a really amazing IGTV series on Instagram that I've seen recently. I just think they are so good.
It's like so the series is called Are You Michelle from Skins, because I was trying to think, like, obviously everyone was doing stuff in lockdown to try and, you know, stay creative and open conversations, and for me it's what I get asked, I would say, on average once a day. So sometimes multiple times, like still now when I'm 31.
Really? That's actually insane.
But I think also I do look quite similar to how I did when I was in the show. So I don't look completely different. So, and often people come up to me and they're like, God, I really recognise you from somewhere. Like,
yes.
Oh, did we go to school together?
Yeah.
No, I went to school with you, but you didn't go to school with me.
Yeah. So, I think I actually saw someone from Skins on the tube once, and I was looking at her like, I'm sure I know you, like, but in real life I was like, I'm sure I've met you before.
Yeah,
it's that really weird feeling,
and you never, because you're like, I recognize you so much, and then you end up staring and like, I'm sure and then you're like, don't stare, because then that just kind of freaks people out.
Rude.
Yeah, just like have a conversation.
That's my favorite though, is when someone's really trying to figure it out. They're like, they're just sort of intently like, what, why, how do I know you?
Yeah.
And then it's the recognition, and they're like, oh shit,
yeah,
that's that girl from Skins.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what do I do? Do I like, she obviously knows I've been staring at her, and now I know it's her. Or do I just ignore it and just carry on walking and carry on with my day? So anyway, I started the show in lockdown because I wanted to have conversations with other people, other creatives who had that same experience. And it's been so cathartic for me. It's literally been like therapy. I have never addressed so many of the issues that I've had, like, you know, bubbling under the surface for the best part of a decade. More than I have with talking to people who relate to me, shocker. But yeah, it's just been so interesting talking to, primarily in the first series, it was all actors, because obviously that was my safe zone, and I knew how to like speak to people who are in the same industry as me. And it's been the way that other people have looked at their experience has literally directly and affected how I look back on my own experience. It's just been the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, so good. I love that though, when you turn something that's a negative into a positive that actually helps you and other people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what we've done throughout our whole lives, really. It's like mental health and body issues and sex. And
as soon as you take ownership of it, that's the thing for me. I always kind of was like scared of being like, yeah, it's me. Like, let's have a photo, or like, talk to me about why it was such an important part of your life. Like, until I've been owning so many other things that I've always been like, oh no, I've got curly hair or whatever it is. And it's like a light bulb, and I can't believe I've waited until I'm 31 to be dealing with this stuff.
I feel like 30 is like the realization stage where you're just
wait to get to that point later, girls, because that is 100%. I'm sure you're going to ask me stuff about aging and sex, and that's like, let's do it.
Okay, so this episode is going to be slightly different to our usual format because we have such a special guest, obviously.
Special.
So we've got our celeb format for everyone, and we're so excited to launch this format, and I'm so glad that April, you are first.
Yes.
I'm so excited too, and I feel like it's such a fitting combo, this first guest, because I have such a kind of, I'm so synonymous with something that was the first time you would ever have seen a certain act or a sex act or teenagers doing things that they were doing at that time. So I feel like this is actually a really good collab.
You were like opening up the conversation.
Breaking us in.
Oh, God. Okay. Here we go.
So let's talk about sex then. So April, what was your experience growing up with sex and sex education? How do you feel like you started educating yourself about it?
It's so hard to not answer that question with my head on my shoulders now, and yeah. to like take myself back to how I saw it and viewed it and was taught it when I was younger. Yeah. So I suppose, I mean, the first thing to say is I went to a girls' school. Mm-hmm. So that is...
So did I. Yeah, fucking girls. So
that in itself was, I would say, probably a different approach. I can't obviously speak for someone who went to a mixed school, but mm-hmm. learning about sex in the company of the opposite sex, I suppose, would have been different because, there are different genitals there. Mm-hmm. And I would say that my school dealt with sex in a very kind of hands-off kind of way. Mm. It was much more about the science of making babies. And yeah. there was no conversation other than the binary. It was just men, women, you identify as a girl, you need to be having sex with men, probably when you're married.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and if you're not a lawyer, then get out of this school.
Yeah.
But it was done with like the best intentions. It was never kind of like, it was, you know, there was, it was never, I don't know, like we were never shamed or like told that we were bad if we fancied mm. boys or anything like that. It was kind of welcomed but never ever explored deep enough, I don't think.
They never spoke about pleasure. It was very much like you must use condoms or you will get pregnant. Absolutely. Or you will get STIs. There was a lot of I just remember like a lot of fear as well, especially with toxic shock. That terrified me. 100%. And they really put a massive emphasis on that, and still to this day I still feel weird about tampons.
Did you have the tampon lady?
Probably, yeah. I remember a different person came into the lady? School.
The tampon lady came with like a like almost like one of those anoraks where you open it and there's just like an arsenal of tampons.
No, that's
amazing. Honestly, she was there. You know, she taught us how to. Again, no alternatives. It was sanitary towels or tampons. There was no yeah. and like, you know, the menstrual cup was available back mm-hmm. then. You know, mm-hmm. I'm talking
and the pill
in the odd and the pill,
it was
like
only about the pill. Didn't yeah. know any other contraception yeah. methods apart from the pill and condoms. That was it.
Wait, how did yeah. you go from period supplies to contraception in 1 second, Reed?
Well, there you go. That's
it's same diff.
It was all the same. It was all part yeah. of the same thing. Yeah. And so yeah. obviously we all went on the pill and went mental. And yeah. we're all in the same environment. We're all menstruating together because we've all synced up. I mean, it was chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Oh my God, it must have been such like a hormonal place to be.
Yeah,
definitely. I can't imagine what it would have been like in an all-girls school, because I went to a mixed school and I just like, I spent my school days just crushing on boys.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I would be yeah. so distracted in class by...
I would do it on the real life instead.
Boys. The real yeah. life boys that
this
were in
is
my
why,
class.
What's better, like a mixed school or a same-sex school? Because I spent my whole life crushing on like teachers, which is probably just more fucked up.
Oh.
God, I really don't know. I haven't even opened this. I feel like this is not the kind of conversation we should be having on your podcast. Not as interesting as perhaps it should be, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I really actually, yeah. I don't know.
I couldn't answer that because I felt like I really did focus in on my subjects and my class more, but that could have happened if I was in a mixed school. I don't know.
I would say the one thing that I remember certainly from more of my kind of teenage part of school was not caring about my appearance at mm-hmm. all. I literally didn't care when I went to school what I looked like. And when we were allowed to wear like our own clothes and not our uniform in sick mm-hmm. form, I would just turn up in like whatever I rolled home mm-hmm. in, you know? And
yeah.
and I feel like had I been around the opposite sex or had kind of, I imagine, because obviously I can only speak from my experience, but
yeah.
there would have been some judgment from, you know, the opposite sex about mm. how I was appearing
yes.
in school.
Oh yeah.
So I would say from my experience that was kind of a luxury of mm. literally having a full face of breakout and just being like, oh well.
Yeah.
Here I think
because our college was mixed, so we went from the jump of being all girls to also having these like sixth form blokes walking around and then being unfortunately sex subjects. I was in love with my first boyfriend 2 years before he knew I existed. I was a proper little stalker back then. Aww. Jesus. I don't know how people dealt with, hormonal girls back then, or hormonal boys, really. And
also, when we were at school, it was like MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace was everything.
Imagine. Fucking loved MySpace. But imagine having MySpace.
MSN.
So many people. Yeah.
MSN. Yeah. And like
hours thinking, and hours on MSN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every single day when I came home from school, I like ran upstairs to get on MSN and talk to the same people that I was with at school all day.
Mm, yeah. But behind a barrier of like this slight anonymity where it's like, who you are, but you don't have your name there. You just have like your favorite lyric at the time.
Oh my God, the lyrics.
The lyrics.
Okay. But so how old were you when you were on Skins for the first time? Because I feel like that must have been almost part of your sex education.
Mm. It was my sex education. so I was 16 when I did the audition. So I think I just turned 17 when we started shooting.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's like prime time for like learning about sex in your body as well.
Yeah. I say it was my education. It was more, I think it was more like breaking the touch barrier with people I'd never met.
Yeah. That must have been tough. How did you even navigate sex scenes?
Well, I'm looking back on it as myself, I think, there were some safeguarding things that we probably could have dealt with a bit better. But like my first audition with Nick, who played Tony, my boyfriend, I had been cast and they were still sort of trying to find an actor who'd had a vague name so that there was at least a hook of some description for the show because we were all unknowns pretty much. Mm-hmm. And he came into audition and we literally had to, there was a scene in, I think it might be episode 1 or episode 2, where we sit on the sofa and just snog for about 2 minutes and it's really quite awkward. It gets to the point where there's another character sat on the sofa like, excuse me, are you going to stop now? And they chose that scene for us to audition with each other. And I think it was...
Fuck.
Yeah, so I'd literally met him that day. And I think the reasoning, if I have to, like, excuse that, is because they wanted to see how we were, what our chemistry was like. Yeah. And I think, for me, I don't think there was enough kind of knowledge about chemistry being non-sexual as well as sexual. Mm-hmm. So, yes, okay, we could make out with each other and it looks realistic, but what's our actual chemistry like relating to each other as two people?
Yeah, off-screen.
And actually, I think, exactly. Mm. So I think as an actor, I've learned so much more about chemistry since Skins because when people talk about like on-screen chemistry, in my head, I always thought, well, that means that they're good at like performing sex acts with each other. And it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that like it can be a completely non-gendered relationship. It's just those two people have good chemistry. And I think that was a weird thing. And then obviously learning about the industry and acting and how to meet somebody for the first time and then give them a hand job under the table. Like that is problematic. Like it's very, very weird. And I was 17, so let's unpack that.
Where's my therapist at?
I can't imagine at that age just sort of being able to go, because Skins was explicit, like it really went in. And it was like the first time that we ever really saw sex as it was, the awkwardness, the fumbling, being a teenager and having sex is just the most awkward experience ever, and Skins showed that so well.
16, 17 and getting fingered and being like, this is great, even though they're jabbing you. You're like, this is what fingering's supposed to be like. It's such a... I mean, I was so nervous back then. I can't imagine what it must have been on camera with a crew, with people that you don't know. That's terrifying.
And it's also not really knowing how I would be receiving that.
Yeah.
To perform enjoyment or anything about like the actual act being something that I wanted, I was so unaware of my own body and so unaware of what I would have liked in that moment that it was complete falsity. Like that I was literally acting, and I think that bled into my personal life as well because I had no time to experience anything that I was like, okay, so this is actually how I like it or how I want it. So it was. I mean, I don't want to say it like took away that for me, but I suppose, where do you learn that stuff? Like, do you learn it from the partners you have when you're a teenager, or is it from somebody that writes it down in a book or talks to you in a sex ed class. Like, you, Reece, you were saying about jabbing, being jabbed during fingering practice. Yeah. Like, is that just something you have to go through? Because presumably, you know, that whoever's performing that act on you doesn't really know how to do it either. Yeah. So I guess it's one of those things that you just have to...
I feel like I'm only just learning this shit now, really.
Oh, same.
Like, 100%. And only because 100%. We talk about sex education and are really open to it, I feel like we could have been taught these things, even just as simple as something like consent and saying, like, oh, if you don't like something, it's okay to say you don't like it and you want to change it up, rather than feeling that you have to almost do things that you don't want to do as a rite of passage. Like, I have to have sex to get over this hurdle. I have to be fingered in the park to get over this hurdle. And I hope that in the, what, the 20 years that we've missed out on sex education or had that, it's changed. I hope that sex ed
has it has. There's a song, I wish I could remember it, but there's a song, my friend works in sexual violence clinic, and she told me about a song that they play to young children about My Body, My Choice. And and it's
That's
about
amazing.
Anybody, because obviously, you know, there is, not to get too dark, but an awful lot of grooming of young children. It's about learning from a really young age what those parts of your body are called, what you would like to refer to them as, and the fact that they're yours, and you can't, the only person who is allowed to give consent for people touching your body is you. And funnily enough, one of my friends, her niece has started using My Body, My Choice, the song, in a bad way, because now she's like, I'm not going to brush my teeth. It's my body. It's my choice. You know, I think she's 5.
Oh, no.
So, like, you know, I guess parents now have to navigate the other side of that, which is...
Yeah, the rebelliousness.
I'm so sorry, you do have to do your teeth. Well, it's my body, my choice. Okay, well, how do I get around that?
That's amazing, though. Like, for sex education to come so far. And it's for really now good. That we have access to the internet and people online, and as much as that there are a lot of cons than there are pros, but also sex education is more accessible to people that aren't getting the right sex education all across the world. I hope that it helps people, because I don't want it to just be life experiences and trial and error all the time. I want to be able to know where I stand. And I think most people should be able to as well.
And that's why you guys are so amazing. I just have to say that, like, what you're doing is, no, it's honestly, it's so amazing. You're using a platform that's enormous to do that kind of thing and normalize those conversations. It's really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I did want to ask if, like, being on Skins affected your personal sex life. You kind of touched on that briefly, but did you find it impacted you in, like, a positive or negative way, or maybe just nothing? Were you able to have a sex life?
I imagine you were just like fighting off a lot of people, because you were a sex icon for a lot of people, especially around
such a sad retrospective comment. You were a sex icon.
No, you're still a sex icon.
No.
Wait, I mean,
gone past it.
Yeah, you were my first girl crush, for me to be like, oh wow, like, maybe I am a little bit gay, and now I'm like, I'm fully fucking queer. So thank
you're
you
welcome,
for that awakening. Reece.
You're welcome.
But being, you know, going from Skins and then back to school or back to education, or even just like going out in a nightclub where you're just like fighting off people here and there, or were almost people too afraid to approach you because...
Oh, yeah.
Because of being an actor.
I would say the latter, actually. I think it was a lot less... I mean, I suppose I definitely did a lot of playing into the narrative of like being the sexy one.
Yeah,
100% felt like I needed to kind of live up to that on a daily basis. And I would say only in the last maybe 2 years have I realized that that's ridiculous. But it, you know, I think, you know, I was so kind of synonymous with being the shaggable one, the one that's like, you know, so much of Michelle's personality and her character.
I mean, that was
Michelle,
right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, if I'm looking back on it now and I was to be part of that writing team and I was in the writer's room, I'd be like, let's see if there's another dimension to this character, because let's dial into why that's the case. Why, I mean, there were enough reasons for me, for my own backstory, to be like, okay, well, she's missing a father figure, blah, 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 what, like all of those things that I worked on as an actor. But I would say that some of that didn't translate onto screen, and it just came off that she was like, you know, constantly on the prowl, constantly looking for a guy to verify that she was.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Attractive. And mm-hmm. I do think that bled into my personal life for sure. And I think, did it affect my sex life? I don't think so, because I mean, there was definitely an element of being like performative at a young age. I think like I never ever really considered the pleasure element for myself. So I suppose in a way, performing sex on screen and then performing sex in my personal life, maybe, but yeah. I don't think I was, I wouldn't say like I got some tips from Skins.
That kind of leads on to our next section, which is the game changer.
Okay.
What was the game changer for you in your personal life?
I think it's growing up. I think it was dialing into my self-esteem. I feel like, for me, sex has changed in my later, I say later life, like I'm dying, but definitely I would say the game changer was getting my head around the fact that sex is also for my pleasure. Uh-huh, and I think I do, maybe it plays into the question you asked before about whether Skins had an impact on my personal sex life. Possibly I felt that it was all about the partner and that sex was also an extension of performing in some way, in like terms of acting.
Performing. I completely agree with you there. Like all the porn I watched, it was just all performative. Yeah. I'm not really having fun. I'm not really telling you how I can have fun, but you just kind of like act like, oh my God, I love this. This is amazing. And it's like, is it?
Yeah. Because in Skins as well, you were all about like giving. I don't remember there being much receiving.
Yeah, but is that just the writers? Because we don't see a lot of receiving, women receiving.
Whenever I see someone going down on a woman in like any movie or TV now, I'm like, oh my God, yes.
An applause, finally. Yeah.
But I would say it's much more commonplace now. I mean, there are shows now where I feel like, this is going to sound possibly a bit wanky, but I do feel like Skins opened the door for that kind of journey to happen. So so shows like Michaela Cole's I May Destroy You, period sex. Yes. There's period sex in that show. I feel like I've not seen that. A man takes her tampon out, like, in a so beautiful, sexy way. And I was just like, whoa. I mean, Fleabag to some extent, masturbation on whilst watching Barack Obama doing a speech. Like, those kind of things are much more commonplace now in terms of on-screen behaviour in dealing with, like, female sexuality.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder if it's the reason, like, the fact that all of these things are now changing and they have progressed so much, is that the reason that we are only just experiencing, like, how to have good sex, how to communicate better? Is it because we've been on the journey, like, with the media? Or is it just something that you learn with age and it is because we're all, like, around the age of 30?
It's got to be a bit of both, surely.
I think so as well.
It's got to be so many things, and so many things during your life and life experiences and sexual encounters will influence how you see sex and how you have it. You know, if you had a horrible, abusive relationship when you're younger, you might see relationships and sex as completely different as you would do now. And or if you had parents that would walk around the house naked, or like they were really open about talking about sex. These are all little things that feed into how we feel about sex now. But it just because it's a learned behavior doesn't mean you can unlearn the negative sides of things. Mm. You know, that does take a lot of unpacking, and you can have the sex life you love.
Isn't it weird though that we are all women from different backgrounds around the same age and we're all saying the same thing?
Yeah,
maybe it is just the three of us. Maybe it's just us. But I just think
that's really a really big coincidence.
And I actually think, like, I would say it is the same for a lot of my girlfriends. So I completely agree with you, Reed. But I would also say there is definitely something systemic that we maybe don't notice that's happening for us right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're more inquisitive. Maybe we're feeling more empowered by what's going on in the world.
I'm also talking from a privileged point of view as well. Being
100%.
Being white, being like middle class. We will have had different education and different ways to talk about sex. Like if any of us were in a religious school, would feel differently about sex now. We might even still have guilt. But luckily, I'm certainly a proud slut.
I love that you were going to say we're all proud sluts.
I was going to say we're all proud sluts, but I was like, oh wait,
hold on.
Florence and I, we're very proud sluts. It's like, shit, hold on, I'll be right.
I think it took me coming out of my like long-term relationship for me to finally kind of reconnect with my body and like what good sex was. It's almost like you reach a new chapter of your life at this age that allow, like, it sort of just opens the book to exploration and being like, actually, I'm going to do something that's good for me rather than just be there for someone else. April, I want to ask you about your sex and relationship hacks. Do you have any advice that you can give our listeners?
Number one, communication.
Yeah,
oh,
baby.
My God, yes.
It is the sexiest thing ever. And I would say, again, there's this weird thing where in my kind of younger relationships, it was so taboo to talk about previous relationships and experiences, as in like my partners would always be like, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to know.
Yes.
I really don't want to. I don't want to know maybe it's because it was me and they thought that I'd been with lots of people because of being on telly or I don't know what, but it was really like a weird thing to talk about, you know, what I'd, the kind of relationships I'd had and the encounters
I've
had before.
I've experienced that as well.
Which was weird.
From a lot of people, women and men as well, I think, and which is really, we talk about the numbers game a lot, but like that, it's something that maybe because we weren't taught in at school and we have this like idea that the less people you sleep with, the better it is. So I don't know whether it's like you're more virginal or like with men, it's like, you know, you've got that counter and you're like, yeah, I've slept with like 10 girls and everyone's like, wow, cool. You must be so great in bed. And that doesn't mean anything. It's such a bizarre concept that hopefully we're fading away from, especially now in our 30s. It's not really even a thing.
Even more than like just like communicating what I like, I would say like being honest in the lead up to a sexual encounter, as in like about everything. There is nothing sexy than just being your authentic self and being loved for that, and for someone to still find you sexy when you've said something that you're like, oh, there's no way that anyone can find me sexy after I've said that.
That's when you're going to have the deeper connections with people.
And I think also
brutal honesty.
Brutal honesty is the sexiest thing ever.
So yes,
like hack number one. And I also, like, when I moved to Brighton, I worked in a shop that had like an upstairs which had sex toys in it. So often I would be serving people who were in a kind of relationship rut, so they'd often be coming in and being like, what can we do, how can we spice things up? And as much as I love a huge array of sex toys, and I think there are places for all of that in a relationship, my first thing would be like, why are you not having good sex? So again, I suppose this also is communication, but like, I would say, don't just immediately be like, right, we need external help from another person, a toy. Let's like discover why we need that and then explore that and then talk about that. And then maybe look at bringing that into the relationship, and only like in a way where we both feel, or however many people are part of that experience, how we all feel that that's something we want to do.
I think it needs to come from within, especially when, because I mean, I think everyone can relate to getting to that place in a relationship where the sex kind of just stops happening as frequently. But it's not really, you're right, it's not really a fix that externally like, it's not an external fix, is it? It's something that you really both have to figure out together, and like, whether...
And also, some toys might not be suitable for you. You might buy something that's actually quite expensive, get it home, and then you're both playing and you're like, well, this doesn't work. This isn't that we signed up for.
Yeah, and like, what's wrong with us? Because this is supposed to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not working.
I've read all the reviews. Mm-hmm. I've seen all of the people who are enjoying themselves, but most of them paid and faking it. But like, you know, those are things that are all play into, and it's all in your mind. Like, for any gender, you've got to be in the mood.
I mean, sex education, it should be a whole subject, the communicating, like how to communicate with your partner.
Yeah. Yeah, also, toys should be spoken about in 100%. Sex education, because like, how are we supposed to know what we are even interested in, what we should go for, what does what? Like, they're all so different. As you said, like, you might get something that you pay a lot of money for and it just doesn't even work for you.
Mm-hmm. But again, like, pop culture stuff that we grew up watching was like American Pie, where, you know, you find the parents' sex toys in a dusty back cupboard, and it's like, oh god, no, this is so embarrassing. And it's that kind of narrative, like Rachel's sexy book in Friends. It's she's kind of dragged over hot coals for having it, and she's trying to, like, you know, be like, it's, there's nothing wrong with a woman enjoying a sexy book, but it's still it's just a sexy book. Like, the stuff that's available is just not ever talked about.
Give us your one piece of advice that if you could look back, talk to your younger self, maybe when you were Michelle and Skins, what advice would you give yourself when it comes to sex and relationships?
Wow, that's a big question. I think probably don't be scared of asking the questions. Just to anybody. Don't be scared to ask people to expand on the stuff that they give you, because often it's, you know, if it's your parents, there's a weird, like, embarrassment barrier. If it's teachers, it's even more embarrassing. Friends, you know, you can't help but fall down the comparison trap and you're like, well, that's not what's happening for me. Mm-hmm. But then don't stop. Be like, okay, well, why isn't that happening for me? So tell me how you get to your place, so that I can see how I can relate what I'm doing to that. I think don't be scared of being inquisitive. And that's across the board in terms of relationships, identity, like those conversations, sexuality, exactly. I would say it's okay to have the questions.
Yeah. I always find it really quite emotional looking back and like trying to visualize your younger self.
Oh, so sad. Like,
oh my god, what would I do to make you feel better?
Just a hug. Just want to give my little self a hug.
I always, and again, I didn't really start wanting to give myself a hug because I was so, like, I guess ashamed of her and what, like, what she was doing. I know, but until I started doing Are You Michelle from Skins, I didn't realise that I actually had so much empathy for that person who was so brave and so, like, just wanting so much to be an actor and just do the best possible job.
That's the bravest thing to, like, jump straight into. Like,
I never thought I'm being really brave. I just thought, great, this is my first job as an actor. Cool, I'm off now. I'm on the road. I just got on with everything they asked me to do.
What a first job, though. Yeah, like, actually jumping in right at the deep end. Wow.
And I've never managed to come close to it since.
Double deep end. I mean, what they must have asked you to do at that age, I think, is just insane. You know, even in the show Sex Education, they have an intimacy coordinator on set to make sure that both people are okay and to actually... Yeah, make sure that the sex looks real and right and if everyone's happy. And I cannot imagine they would have had that back then.
I mean, I actually get really emotional talking about that side of it now and how much it's changed, because I remember watching an interview with Paul Mescal from Normal People, and he was asked the question, what was it like, you know, performing sex scenes, and how did you feel like your parents would have seen, you know, those kind of questions. And he said, empowered.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And it makes me, like, I want to cry just having that response. And he is a man, of course, and he identifies as a man, so he would have had a very different experience to mm-hmm. his counterpart in the scene. But I would like to think that that was across the board. How they set up that whole interaction between those two actors was for them both to feel empowered. And yeah. that is something I definitely missed. And I would say is probably only just becoming more commonplace in the last sort of year yeah. and a half.
How did you feel when other people saw Skins? Like people you knew, your family?
Again, I don't think I was like, I mean, I have locked a lot of it away. So mm-hmm. like actually yeah. finding those memories is really difficult for me to actually be able to relate it to you. But I would say a lot of it was like, how embarrassing. I'll just palm that off and like, oh, don't look at this bit, guys. And then not really thinking about I guess it was just too worrying to think about how people were actually seeing it. Mm-hmm. And again, I was talking to one of my friends when I was about to start doing the Instagram live. I was like, what are your memories of that time? Because I have hidden mine so deep down that I need you to help me access them. And she was like, to be honest, we just thought you were okay. We just thought like you were getting on with it, and to our detriment, none of us ever asked.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being there and doing Skins, because I think you empowered so many people and their mm-hmm. like the way that they viewed sex.
Wow.
So yeah.
I can't take full credit for that, but thank you.
Okay, so earlier we asked our listeners on Instagram what question they wanted to ask April, and we have: April, how much of a crush do you have on Dakota Blue Richards, and is it reciprocated?
I love that someone has asked this, because I'm really in my infancy with my relationship with Dakota, but I feel like we are so connected because we've had an experience that we were both part of at such a young age. But basically, Dakota was in the last generation of Skins, and I mm-hmm. interviewed her for my show, and we just like really imprinted on each other. And aww. I think it was really the first time that she'd ever sort of spoken about her time on Skins and some of the things that happened to her, and it was definitely the first time that she'd felt like she could say what she wanted without necessarily protecting the integrity of the show. And and we just sort of really connected, and then we realized we both lived in the same city, and I'd say now I don't really go a week without hanging out with her in some way. And
amazing.
So nice. In that sense, we are in love officially.
Like yeah, in love. That's beautiful. This person asking that question is gonna shit themselves.
Yeah. How did this person know? I guess maybe you had like a really like nice chemistry on that interview you did with her.
Yeah, I think so. And also, like, I mean, the people at our gym, like, we now go to the same gym as well, so they always take the piss out of us, and they're like, do you come as a duo now?
That's nice, though.
That's so cute. Also, just like a funny one to end on, someone says, will there be a Skins reboot /Skins movie?
Could you imagine? So oh, my goodness.
I get asked this all the time, and I wish I could give people the answer they want, but, like, it would be really weird. Actually thinking about it, mm-hmm. it would be so weird, because it would never be what everyone wanted it to be. The pressure would be so intense. It's like, I always think that about the Friends reunion. Like, it's not going to be the characters that you remember seeing 20 years ago.
I mean, I'm here for Skins reboot if they ever want to do that.
Right then, guys, my favourite bit of the podcast is a little game we've come up with called Come or Done, which is we're going to ask our lovely guest, April, a thing, and you have to choose whether that makes you come or whether you're done, like done with it, like no, that's not okay. Basically hot or not, but like cooler, you know.
Okay.
Our first one is flavored condoms.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
So done with flavored condoms.
Why were they even made? Why were they created? They're just
so
gross.
They upset the pH balance so badly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Thrush every time. And it's like, what? So, yes, I understand the idea behind them, and sucking a dick with a condom on is probably safer than not in terms of STIs, but neither of us want that. No person wants that.
And also, it never tastes like the flavour it says it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's
just sort of chemicals.
Yeah, but purple yeah. blueberry, and you're like, ow, this actually burns my tongue. This is not okay.
Done, done, done.
Uniforms.
Ooh, do you know what's weird is that immediately, because we've had a, like a weird conversation about, not weird, but a conversation about being girls from girls' schools, I immediately thought of my own school uniform and was like, done.
Oh, no
and
way.
And then I realised that that actually could mean uniforms in any capacity, like in any terms form. Of, you know, and I would yeah. say, I would say come in that sense.
Yes. Yeah. do you have a favourite uniform in mind? Like what gets you going?
I think, is it really cliche to say firemen?
No, definitely not. It's they are so hot. Not. Oh my goodness. In yeah. the fireman's truck as well, because they're big always and beautiful and red.
Mm-hmm. Also, always I would say air host.
Yes, air hostesses. Mm. Oh. Male or female or both?
Both. Both.
What about pilot?
Pilot, 100%. I mean, yeah. let's just be honest, across the board uniforms. Let's go.
Yes. yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Mm. All NHS workers as well, I'm down
100%,
for.
100%, yeah. 100%.
yes. PDA, public displays of affection.
Oh my god, I longed for it in my long-term relationship, and I was with somebody who just did not engage. Like no hand-holding, just nothing.
What? And not so, even hand-holding?
Yeah. Luckily, me and my husband snog all day long in front of anyone who will watch us. So.
Yes, yes. That's so good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Although, having said that, I have been known to be in a club and been like, God, get a room.
Yes. It's always the hypocrites.
So it's fine for me. Yeah, exactly. It's fine for me, but it's not fine for anyone else.
Yeah. All right. Food play or sploshing? And sploshing. They're the same thing.
I'd say probably done.
Same. Same. So yeah. Into that.
I mean, it's fun and gimmicky, but that's about as far as it goes. When some you're actually thinking it. About...
It's yeah, the concern about the cleanup for me. Like, it's, yeah. I couldn't enjoy it whilst it was happening because I'd just be thinking, oh God, there's a bit that's gone on a thing that was it wasn't supposed to go on. And mm-hmm. yes, you can get all kinds of amazing covers for your bed and like you can,
yeah.
you can put cling film all over the whole living room, but still, uh-huh. that you're gonna be finding some jam somewhere it shouldn't be.
maybe it's just laziness. I don't want to clean up after this. Like I'm
right.
done.
Right.
I'm just scared for like, my pH levels. Like if someone yeah. wants to stick a chocolate bar up my vagina, like I'm not up for that.
No yeah. cream as well. Although I've had cream eaten off the nips before. That seems to be okay
just like the nipples without anything on them
yeah
but like Reed does yeah. that actually do it for you
no, no. I'm just thinking about thing. I'm thinking about the cream and the mess and like the yeah. fact that now my tit has loads of cream in its pores like yeah. I'm not okay with that no
right and no matter how good you lick it there's still going to be some lactose left on there and you could yeah. you could react to that
yeah it might smell cheesy later when it's like yeah. not washed off you know
ew.
That's not for you hun that's for them.
And last but not least, pegging. If you want to talk about this, but you don't have to.
I would say that there are some of the most beautiful harnesses I've ever seen, and I think you can get some amazing dildos to go in harnesses. And I think
yeah.
the fact that that's an option for people, regardless of gender, is a beautiful thing.
Right.
And there is something very sexy about the option.
The option, pegged yes.
Or pegging.
Yeah. yeah. So is that a cum or done?
Cum.
That's a cum, yeah.
There's got to be a cum. Yeah. yeah. Nice one. Well, yeah, that concludes our little sex game. Thank you.
But I feel like a politician. That was such a good answer.
That was a really good answer.
It was so respectful and like, I'm not going to give too much information,
such
but...
Such a politician.
Beautiful.
Well, unfortunately, it's time for us to fuck off.
No,
it's a long time. I feel like we were just getting into it.
Yeah, it was juicy. I want to play that game all the time. It's
yeah, you
fun.
Should definitely play that game more often. I should play that game just on my own.
Just on your own. Like little,
those
like,
are the kind time. Of questions they should ask you in school.
Yes, and thank you so much for being so like open and honest. And we've definitely learned hell about you and acting and what that does for your actual personal sex life. It's such an interesting, interesting viewpoint.
Well, thanks for asking me on because I don't think I would have ever really dialed into what that is for me. And it's only ever going to be a good thing, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's
definitely.
That's you guys.
Yeah,
keep doing what you're doing because it's so fantastic. It's just so
Thank you. And keep doing what you're doing as well, because I am loving this IGTV series. You need your own podcast.
I know, but guys, it's a lot harder than it than you're making it look.
Than it sounds.
So, like, I thought I could think, like, sing the theme tune, write the theme tune. I need a Winnie in my life. Like,
Winnie is our life, to be fair. Like, this podcast would be shit without Winnie and Jack. So shout out to our team.
Yeah, exactly. I need a team. So I think I want to, you know, I want to get to a point where I'm like, okay, this is a thing. Like, I can do, this is actually a thing that people want to see and listen to. And and ultimately that would be the goal, but. We'll see.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Where can our curious fuckers find you?
Oh god, I wish I was quick enough to think of something really cool. Okay, well then I'll just have to do the normal things, like at April J Pearson on Instagram.
Tell us what's happening, what's going on in your life, what's coming up, what's new.
So there's a film called Tucked on Netflix that I would really love everyone to watch.
It's amazing.
Me and Reed watched that together.
Holding hands.
It's such a special movie, and I did the makeup for that movie, and I'm in.
Did you? That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, so it's a real achievement across the board, but for me it's quite special because of the aspect of having to suddenly learn how to do drag makeup and drag makeup that would be, you know, that somebody in their 80s would put on themselves. So it's a lovely intergenerational love story about a friendship that blossoms between an old drag queen and a young drag queen in Brighton, and it's I would urge everyone to watch it. I'm in a scene. The best scene, but I am only in a scene. There's another film which is on video on demand called Making Tracks that we shot in 2017 when you were allowed to go around Europe, and it's a comedy about a couple who interestingly are in a rut and they think, how can we excite our relationship, and they try an interrailing trip around Europe, and it's about the kind of little comedy vignettes that happen whilst they're on their journey.
Amazing.
Lots of nakedness in that one, not from my part because they didn't pay me enough, obviously.
of course.
there's some interesting things that your listeners might be interested in.
Amazing.
And then just check out the Instagram show. It's every Monday, 8 o'clock. I'm interviewing some really cool people, not just actors, but other creatives. So I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone this time around, but that's the place you learn to swim.
Yeah,
amazing.
And definitely, like, look back at all the previous episodes. They are really good. So what was your social handle again?
It's April J Pearson.
Amazing.
Perfect.
It's not on Twitter, but no one cares about Twitter.
and thank you so much for being our first cherry popping person to do the new format. It's been so fun.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for communicating with me and asking me the whole way through if I liked it or not. It was a really good first time.
The communication, it was that hack you gave us.
You just made sure I was comfortable the whole way through, and I could tell you if I didn't want anything, and it was just
yes, that is so good. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening. This has been a great episode. Please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts if you can. And what else do we say?
Subscribe
to the podcast. How did I forget that?
Or follow it if you're on Spotify, as well as check out our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Find us on Instagram at Come Curious. I don't know what's that cat. At Come Curious and Reed Amber X and Florence Bark. And we also have a Patreon now, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So if you want to pledge and you get to hear loads of private detailed information from Florence and I.
Exclusive.
Very exclusive. So yeah, check that out. And again, check out April's amazing stuff. It's definitely go give her a follow. And again, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been good.
Thank you.
You will hear us next week, curious fuckers.
Bye. Bye guys.